The Psalms, we're going to be looking at the fourth Psalm. Psalms chapter 4, the eight verses that make up this chapter. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. The fourth Psalm. Now, tonight we're going to be talking, as you can see here, on the topic, Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep. But now, even though we're talking about this, we don't want you to try it while I'm doing this, okay? Wait till later before you try this. And I want to tell you something else now, too. The topic is, Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep. But we're not just talking about sleep. And I think you'll understand as we go through the text and as we talk about the message tonight as we go along. Psalms 4, we begin reading in verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me, relieved me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing or sin? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, Who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance or your presence upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Well, when I look at the last verse of that little psalm, I think about a prayer that my mother taught me when I was a boy. She would come into our room, my sister and I, and we would have a Bible story or some devotional with her, and then she'd teach us a little prayer. And I always think about that little prayer when I read the last verse down here where it says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. And you know the little prayer, Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. If I should live to see other days, I pray the Lord will guide my ways. Does that sound familiar? Anybody ever heard that? Well, it may well be that whoever composed that little line got his inspiration from this last verse in this psalm. And it is a statement about the presence of God when you get ready to go to bed at night. It's a statement that we can lie down in peace and sleep because it's the Lord who will watch over us and care for us through the sleeping hours of the night. Now, let me give you a little bit of background to this psalm that might be helpful to us as we look at it tonight. Some believe that the writer David, at this particular time, was in flight from his own son Absalom. Absalom had usurped the kingdom of Israel from his father. Absalom was threatening to try to kill his father, and David had taken refuge in the wilderness. He was a fugitive from his own kingdom, and he was running, fleeing for his life from the hand of his own son. And so, in the midst of that kind of turmoil, David composed this psalm, which is a great statement of confidence and faith in God as he got ready to go to sleep for the night, even in a time of turmoil. Now, of course, this matter of sleep is a very interesting thing. I heard about a Mayo Clinic study about sleep, and it said some very interesting things. For example, one of the things it said was that about 35% of the adults in America have problems going to sleep at night. Now, my problem was never trying to get to sleep. It was I'd sleep a couple hours and then wake up, and I couldn't go back to sleep. Anybody ever have that kind of problem? And the article said there are about 60 different kinds of sleep disorders that a person can have, and of course I didn't know that. I just thought there was insomnia. That was the only thing I could think of. I heard about a man who was having a hard time sleeping, couldn't go to sleep one night. He laid there till about 2 or 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and he was so aggravated he just got up and he called his doctor, and his doctor answered the phone, and as he said to his doctor, Doc, I can't sleep. And his doctor said, Well, what you trying to do? Start an epidemic? And So, you know, we have these problems, but the Mayo report said that not being able to sleep is really not a disease, but rather it's a symptom. And it's the body's way of letting us know that there's some kind of condition or problem in the body, or there's some kind of emotional problem that's making it impossible for us to sleep. And then they said that failure to sleep probably comes from two causes, a physical problem or an emotional problem. And then I would add a third cause, and that's what I would call a spiritual problem. And then they made a series of suggestions in the report about what to do in order to get a good night's sleep. For example, they said not necessarily to take any sleep-inducing drugs. Rather, their recommendation centered around several self-help remedies to help you sleep at night. Now, let me tell you what they said. They said, number one, slow your pace in the evening. In other words, just start to wind down toward bedtime. Number two, establish a regular schedule. That is, for the most part, go to bed at a regular time. Number three, don't focus on going to sleep. That's what I always do. I can't sleep, so I focus on going to sleep, and that makes it worse. Then number four, avoid strenuous exercise. Well, I can look at this crowd tonight and tell y'all don't ever do that. All right, amen? I heard about this guy who said that every time he feels like running, he walks. And he said, every time I feel like walking, I sit down. And every time I feel like getting up, I lie down. And he said, I lie there until the feeling leaves me. So, you know, he had the right idea. Don't do strenuous exercise at night, they said. Don't consume caffeine. Avoid caffeine. Take a warm bath. Improve your sleep environment. Try a warm glass of milk. You know, if you eat anything, don't eat much. Just a light snack. But those are some recommendations they use for going to sleep. Now, what I want to do tonight on the basis of this psalm is to show you some spiritual suggestions or remedies to help you get a good night's sleep. But now, I want you to understand again, I'm not talking necessarily about going to sleep. There's an underlying principle here that I'm talking about that I want you to get. And so what I want to do in this service is I want to give you the spiritual sleeping pill to help you go to sleep. Now, look at verse 4 of this psalm. I want you to notice what it says in verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not. And then notice it says, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. And what I want to do is suggest some things that you ought to think about when you go to bed at night that can help you get a good night's sleep. Number one, you ought to be able to get a good night's sleep because you are saved. If you're a child of God, you're saved. Then you ought to get a good night's sleep. Notice verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You see that little statement, O God of my righteousness? That's a statement there that this man who wrote the psalm, David, was a saved man because he understood what righteousness is. Now, you know the Bible says that God is a holy God. And the Bible says, O God of Israel, thou art righteous. And you also understand that the Bible says we are unrighteous. Romans 3:10 says there is none righteous, no, not one. Not a single person here tonight could be considered righteous. But then here is God. We're unrighteous, but God is holy. God is righteous, but we're unrighteous. He's absolutely pure. We are sinful. So the great question of the gospel is, how can a holy God make it possible for a sinful man to have fellowship with him and be saved and go to heaven when he dies? Well, the Bible says that God has solved the gospel problem in sending his son Jesus for us because, you see, you and I don't have enough righteousness to save us, as we talked about this morning. You remember I mentioned a verse this morning, Isaiah 64:6 says, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in God's sight. Well, Jesus is the only one who ever lived in this world a perfect life. The Bible says that he was holy, undefiled, blameless, separate from sin. In other words, he was never tainted by sin. And yet the Bible says that when Jesus died, now pay real close attention, when Jesus died, our sinless Savior went to the cross, and God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now you say, Preacher Mike, what does all that mean? Well, that's what you call the doctrine of imputation. Now you've never heard of that probably, but let me tell you what it is. When Jesus died on the cross, having never sinned, He took our sins upon Himself, and His righteousness was imputed to us so that when we get saved, God no longer sees us as sinless, but He sees us as pure as the new driven snow. And that is, His righteousness becomes our righteousness. So the moment you repent of your sins and by faith trust Christ, you're saved, and you have the righteousness of God imputed to you. Therefore, that's why I tell you that when you go to bed at night, you don't have to worry. I tell you what, I've done enough things in my life to cause me guilt trips from now on. But when I got saved, that meant I could go to bed at night, and no matter what I've done in my past, I don't have to worry about those things. I don't have to agonize about them. I don't have to be frustrated about them. I know that they're all under the blood of Jesus. Therefore, I can go to sleep, and I don't have to worry about it at all. Now, notice the text, the next part of verse 1 says, "Thou hast relieved me when I was," and you see the word distressed? That means when I was hemmed up in a tight place. I don't know if you ever watched movies or not, but you remember the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Y'all remember that? And you remember old George Clooney's, his character was always saying, we're in a tight place. You know, they get hemmed up and we're in a tight place. Well, the word down here means pressure. And what the verse is saying here is, you have relieved me when I was under pressure. When I was in a tight spot. Now, how many times have I laid there in the bed at night and there was some kind of pressure I was under? Tell you what, you don't pastor a church without being under pressure. Now, I'm just going to say this to you, and I say this with all the Christian love I can, but when you call a new pastor and y'all give him a hard time, I'm going to come back and we're going to have a visit, okay? All right? Don't give him a hard time. You pray for him and you help him. Don't put him under pressure. I've been there, done that. Or maybe financial pressure. Maybe a word about your bills, or maybe health issues, or whatever it is. Well, when you go to bed at night, you're really saved. Just begin to think about all the times that God has come to your rescue in the past. And remind yourself of all the times that you were under pressure and there was difficulty in your life, and then remember how God came through for you. Now, I don't know what you may be going through tonight. I don't know what the problem is that keeps you up at night, but let me tell you this. The problem has not come as a surprise to God. Have you ever thought about God is not surprised by anything? I mean, God is never surprised by anything. He's not up there in heaven marching back and forth saying, oh, there's one of my children in trouble and I'm worried. I don't know what to do. I wasn't expecting this. That never happens. You see, God knows everything. And He knows it when it happens. He knows why it happens. So whatever you're going through tonight, God already knew about it even before it came about. So God is going to take care of your problem because you belong to Him. You do belong to Him. You're one of His children. So you see, friend, when you go to sleep at night, don't count sheep. Just talk to the shepherd. Amen. Have you ever tried counting sheep? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard anybody say. There've been times I couldn't sleep, and I say, well, I'm going to try counting sheep. And then I thought, well, there goes a sheep, 1, 2, 3. And then David, after a while, it became big old 10-point bucks I was counting as they jumped, see. And, yeah, I'm a hunter, but I still didn't go to sleep. You know, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. I can get a good night's sleep because I'm saved, but here's a second reason you can get a good night's sleep. You can get a good night's sleep because you are special. Now look at verse 3 down there. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for Himself. That's just another way of God saying you are special. I remember a lady named Ethel Waters years ago used to sing on the Billy Graham Crusades. And Ethel Waters used to say, I must be somebody special because God don't make no junk. And that's right. God don't make no junk. I am somebody special. And that's what verse 3 teaches right there. Now, that is just simply talking about the fact that a child of God is special to the Lord. And that means that he has been set apart, number one, for something. Number two, to something. Now, let me say that again. If you're a child of God, you have been set apart for something. And secondly, you've been set apart to something. Now, when the Lord saved you, the Bible says that you are to come out of the world. You are to be different from the rest of the world. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And the Bible says, come you out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Now, that just means that we have to be different. We kind of have a coming out. Years ago, I think when Iris and I first went to Fountain Inn First Baptist Church, there were some girls in the church, and they were going to have some kind of special function, and it was called a coming out party. I'd never heard that before. I'd read it in the newspaper. These girls, they would have coming out parties for these girls. These young girls would be a certain age and stage, and they'd have a coming out party. And I'd ask Iris, what are they coming out of? You know, I didn't have an idea what they were doing, see. And they were coming out of something. Well, I do know this. When you're saved, you ought to have a coming out party. And the Bible says, come you out from among them and be ye separate. When you get saved, the Lord yanks you out of joint with this world and you never do fit in again with it. That's why a saved person cannot sin and enjoy it. Now let me say that if you're living in sin today and you're enjoying it, then I wonder if you've ever been saved. But you can't enjoy sin any longer. You've been set apart. See, I think some of our good Baptist folks have not learned that. You see them as they come to church on Sunday and you watch how they behave, and then you go out there in the world, see how they live during the week, and you wonder about it. Well, if a Christian gets sin in his life, it may be entirely possible that you're not going to sleep good at night. You ought not sleep at night. Now, I'm not saying that every time you can't sleep, it's because you've got sin in your life. Obviously, that's not true. You could have a physical problem and not be able to sleep, but I do know this. If you've got unconfessed sin in your life and you're trying to submerge that old guilt in your subconscious, and if you're not willing to face up to it as the Lord instructs us to do in prayer, you ought not get a good night's rest. You know, I think about the young man Jacob over there in the book of Genesis. You read that story. He had stolen his brother's birthright. His brother was threatening to kill him, and Jacob was fleeing for his life. And remember that the Bible says he came to a spot and he lay down for the night. He got a rock for a pillow and he didn't sleep too good that night. And it wasn't because the rock was hard. It wasn't because the ground was hard. He just didn't sleep because he had a restless conscience. His conscience was bothering him. So when you go to bed at night, one of the things you ought to do is you ought to talk to Jesus. You ought to commune with God in your heart. Look down at verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not, and then notice, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. In other words, search your heart. Just think about your life and see if you have unconfessed sin in your life. And if the Lord shows you any area of your life where there's something inconsistent, you need to take a spiritual bath. I do that quite often. Sometimes people memorize verses in the Bible. 1 John chapter 1, 9 is a good verse for this one right here. By the way, 1 John is written to Christians. And this verse I'm about to quote is written to Christians, and it says, if we confess our sins. Now that just implies that sometimes we are going to mess up. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now let me tell you what I have to do sometimes. Sometime at night I have to go take a physical bath, and then I have to take a spiritual bath as well. That is, when I get in bed at night, I just think to myself of the day's activities, and I can think about somebody that pulled out in front of me and almost made me have a wreck, and I can think, oh, you know, I just tempted to say something I didn't shouldn't say, and I have to say, Lord, forgive me for that. Or maybe there's something in my heart that I thought or something that I was planning to do that was not wrong, and I just have to say, Lord, that was wrong. I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to cleanse me. Or maybe there was some kind of behavior. Maybe I didn't do right in some kind of way during the day, and I just have to say, Lord, I just didn't do right today, and I ask you to forgive me. That was sin, and that sin sold my soul, and I ask you today, give me a spiritual bath. I confess my sin to you. I ask you to forgive me. Help me not do that again. You see, I'm taking a spiritual bath. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And that's what we have to do so many times. I mean, get right with God when you close your eyes and you go off to sleep at night, because you see, you are special. You are set apart for the Lord, so that means you ought to have everything in your life right with Him when you go to sleep. And then you are set apart for the Lord in this sense. You belong to Jesus. You're His child. You know, I pray about a lot of things. Did y'all know that I pray for you guys every day that comes? I pray for White Plains Baptist Church. In fact, I've got a series of churches that I pray for every day. I pray for you guys. You guys have become special to Iris and I, and you become very special to us, and so we pray for you, and we have other people that we pray for, they're close friends. But you know what? There's one group of people who take up a large part of my time in prayer, and that's my family. They are very much an object of my prayers. My children, my grandchildren, I pray for them every day. They take up a special time of my prayer. And here's my point. We are God's children. We belong to Him if we're saved. The Bible says the Lord has set apart him that is godly for Himself. You see, the Lord is very interested in you. And when you go to bed at night, you're special. And you can say, now, Lord, this is one of your children, and I'm getting ready to go to bed and tune out for the night, and I'm going to tune out, Lord, this is one of your children, saying, good night, Jesus. That's one of the last things I do many times. I just say, good night, Lord. I'm checking out now. You know, that ought to be the first thing you do in the morning. You know, some people get up in the morning, they say, good Lord, it's morning. Don't say that. You ought to get up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord. Thank you for the night's rest. It's going to be a good day today. My mother every day says this little verse. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, you can say that because you're special. Now I lay me down to sleep because I'm saved. Now I lay me down to sleep because I'm special. Then let me give you another reason you can go home tonight and go to sleep. And this is it. I can go to sleep because I am satisfied. Now look at verse 7. Down in verse 7, the Bible says, thou hast put gladness in my heart. You see that word gladness? That word gladness there can be translated joy. You have put greater joy in my heart than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Now what is the writer talking about there? Well, he's talking about the festival season, the harvest season. And he's talking about the festival season. After the people had sowed their seed and harvested their crops and put them in the barns, and their barns were bursting with plenty, they had a festival time, and it was a happy time. And if they had a good crop, they would rejoice. And what David is saying here is, I have greater joy than people have in the harvest time. Now, here's why he could say that. Now, pay close attention. Earthly joy is dependent upon earthly things. Spiritual joy is dependent upon spiritual things. And your joy will never rise any higher than the source of your joy. If all you have is an earthly joy, then you will lose any other joy that you have, period. I mean, you have to keep in mind, once again, David's situation. What did I say a while ago? Now remember, he had been anointed king. He's used to living as a king, but now he was on the run from his son who was trying to usurp his throne. His son was threatening to kill him. And at this time, David had lost every earthly thing he had. Now think about it. He lost his palace. He had lost his treasure. He had lost all of the trappings of his office, and yet here is David now. Look at him, probably in some cave somewhere, and he goes to bed at night and he says, I have greater joy than people who are having a festival time. Let me ask you a question. If you lost everything you had, would you be able to say that? If you went home tonight and your house burned to the ground, if you went home tonight and you found out that you lost a job, if you went home tonight and you found out that all the money in your bank had been hacked and it's gone, you don't have anything, and you're destitute, are you going to be able to say like David, I've got greater joy than people are having a festival time? I mean, he says, I have a source of joy that the loss of physical things can never take away from me. You ever heard of the Great Depression? Some of you might have lived through that time. They say during the time of the Great Depression, suicide rates went tremendously high. Why? Because people lost their earthly possessions and they couldn't take it. They lost their joy. Let me ask you something this evening. Suppose that every dime you have in a bank account somewhere or in a CD were to just disappear. Suppose all your money was gone, all that you have was gone, would you still have joy? I'm telling you, your joy will never rise any higher than the source of your joy. And here's what David did. He seemed to have lost everything he had. But now get this, he's laying there in that makeshift bed, and he's happy because he has found a greater joy than this old world can offer. Friend, you've got to learn to get your joy in God and not in gold. Amen? I mean, if you get your joy in Jesus, there's nothing that can take that joy away. And what David was saying here is, I am satisfied. I've got the Lord in my life. You see, if you go to bed tonight, if you're going to worry about real estate that you've got, you know, maybe you've got some real estate and you're worried about that, you know, losing that, or maybe your bank account's, you know, not doing well. If you're staying up all night and you're worried about that, it's probably best you didn't have those things. I was, some years ago now, I was going to a little part of the state to do some duck hunting. I had a little bit of time. So I decided instead of riding all interstate, you don't see anything on the interstate, I decided to go some back roads. It was a time in my life when I was under a lot of stress. I was at First Baptist Church, and we had some things coming up about the church, and it was weighing on my mind, and I wasn't able to sleep, and I was worried about how we're going to handle this, how we're going to do this, how we're going to do that. But I had taken some time off to go on a duck hunt, and I was going down through the lower part of the state on one of those back roads down through there, and I just passed an old sharecropper's house. Does that mean anything to you guys? You know what a sharecropper's house is? And there was a elderly black gentleman sitting on that porch. Now, you know, this sharecropper house was leaning to one side. Looked like a gust of wind would blow it over. Had his wooden steps there, and he was sitting there. And as I was going down the road, I thought to myself, God, that guy right there looks a whole lot more content than I feel right now. Now, what am I saying? If all of the things that you have are causing you worry and you're fretting over these things and you're stressed out about all these things, it might be better not to have them. You can't get a good night's rest. If you're under all that pressure all the time, see? Well, here's old David down here, you know, and he's under all this pressure, and yet he says, I am satisfied. I have the Lord. And if you've got that attitude, you can go home tonight and get a good night's rest no matter what happens, see? And if you know that you're special and if you're satisfied, then you can get a good night's sleep. Now, we're going to take a little momentary pause right here, and I'm going to tell you something. We're not talking about getting a good night's sleep, are we? What are we talking about? Trusting the Lord. That's what this psalm is all about. If you're really trusting the Lord, you're not going to toss and tumble unless you've got some kind of physical problem. But you're going to be able to rest at night, see? And if you know that you're special, if you know that you're saved and you're satisfied and you're special, you ought to be able to lay down at night and rest. And then number four, you can get a good night's sleep tonight also, now get this, because you are safe. Now, look down here at verse 8. It says in verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. David was saying, I can go to sleep tonight, and I'm safe. And remember, folks, at one time there were armies after David. The best minds of the kingdom had sold David out. He had been betrayed. His kingdom was being taken away from him. Those who once supported him had pledged their allegiance to his wayward, rebellious son Absalom. And they were right there getting close to David. And it looked like David was in as much danger as a man could possibly be. And he probably was getting hourly reports. David, they're getting closer. David, by daylight, they'll be right here upon us. David, we're going to have to devise a plan and do something. And I can see old David. All right, boys. Good night. I'm going to bed. I'm going to get some sleep. I'll lie me down in peace. That's what David says. Now, let me tell you something, friend. You don't get peace in a pill. There's not a pill put on the market that can give you personal peace. Now, I'm not telling you not to take pills, okay? And sometimes you have to do those things. I understand that, but don't misunderstand. Instead of a pill, I want to give you a gospel tonight that will take care of you. Now, listen, folks, I thought that was good. You don't need a pill. What do you need? You need a gospel, right? A gospel. Let me give you a verse. Take your Bible and turn all the way over here to Isaiah. I want you to look over here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26 and verse 3. Let me give you a gospel, okay? Good verse to memorize. If you memorize scripture, you ought to memorize this one. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Now I want you to listen to this. The writer says, "Thou," we're talking about God, "thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee." Pretty good pill, isn't it? You know the Hebrew, there where it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee," means this: thou wilt keep him in peace, peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Peace. I like that old song, "Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love." You have that kind of peace in your heart? Go on in verse 8. "For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety." Did you know that the Lord is interested in your getting a good night's sleep? Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, "Preacher, I've never heard a message like this in all of my life. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard tell. Psalms 4 on how to get a good night's sleep." Well, number one, you remember I told you we're not talking about going to sleep. But to show you what I'm talking about, in addition to Psalms 4, listen to Psalms 127, verse 2. "He gives his beloved sleep." Listen to Psalms 121, verse 4. "He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." That verse right there makes me think about the great old evangelist, Vance Havner. Old Vance Havner was having a hard time sleeping. He was experiencing insomnia. He just went through a period of time, he said, "I could not sleep." No apparent reason. He just had a terrible time of insomnia. And then it said that the Lord showed him, Psalms 121, verse 4, "He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." And he said that he looked at that verse, and the meaning of that verse gripped his heart, and he said, "Lord, that verse says that you don't ever go to sleep. Lord, if that's so, if you don't ever go to sleep, there's no need both of us staying awake tonight. Good night, Lord." And he says he went on to sleep. Never had any more trouble going to sleep. Now listen, Christian friend, you don't have to lay awake at night worried. Your Lord will take care of everything if you'll walk with Him each day. And listen, when you go to sleep tonight, if you're saved, you'll either wake up here or over there. And the Bible says that to depart, to be with Christ, is far better. I mean, you can go to sleep tonight because you are safe in the arms of Jesus. You say, "Well, Preacher Mike, I'm not saved tonight." Well, if you're not saved, let me tell you something. I'd be absolutely terrified if I thought of going to sleep tonight not knowing where I'd wake up. According to the Bible, if you've never received Christ as your Savior and you went home, you went to sleep tonight, and you died in your sleep, you wouldn't go to heaven, you'd go to hell. And that ought to scare you to death. The most dangerous thing you could do tonight is to go to sleep if you don't know Christ as your Savior. And let me paraphrase or rephrase verse 8 for the lost person. If you're lost without Christ, here's the way verse 8 should read: "I will both lay me down in fear and try to sleep, for thou, Satan, makest me to dwell in danger." So I wouldn't take a chance on going to sleep tonight if I didn't know Jesus. I tell you what I'd do before I had bedtime come around. I'd get with the Lord, and as best I know how, I'd pray. I'd ask Him to come into my heart, forgive my sins, and I'd trust Him by faith. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that's exactly what I would do. Now, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And again, folks, I hope you understand, we're really not talking here about getting a good night's sleep, although we've talked about that. We're talking about trusting Jesus. And the question is, have you trusted Jesus? Have you been saved? Now, if you've been saved, wonderful. Are you living up to it? It's the question. But maybe during this time when we sing an invitation hymn in just a moment, if there's some decision that you need to make, why don't you right now in a time of prayer as I pray in a moment, just commit yourself to the Lord and do what you need to do. If you need to be saved, ask Him to come into your heart. If you need a closer walk with Him, ask Him to give you that. If there's some things in your life you need to turn loose and let Him take control of, then why don't you do that? But in a moment, as we sing our invitation hymn, you come. If you want to come and pray around the platform or kneel here around the pews or sit on the pews, or if I can help you come, we'll pray together. You come and do what God would have you to do. Lord, I do thank You so much that You love us, that You care about us, that really You're more concerned about us than we would ever dream. Thank You, Lord, that when we have Jesus in our hearts and in our lives, we're living for You, that we can go to bed at night and rest and not worry, not be fearful, not fret. But most of all, thank You, Lord, for the salvation that You provide, for the forgiveness of sin, for the hope of eternal life. And Lord, as we sing this invitation hymn and there's some decision that needs to be made for Jesus, I pray that those who need to make that decision will do so. And we'll thank You for the victory that You give us. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Somewhere close by, there's an invitation hymn or an invitation book. What do we call it? Hymn book. And we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And while we sing, if there's something that you need to do for the Lord, I invite you to come right now while we stand, while we sing.
May we stand, please. 479. 479.